From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the truth. Apologies up front concerning the tardiness of today's report, as well as the absence of a report yesterday. Said absence due to both computer-related hardware and a Chase Bank automated service that I suspect uses the definition of service associated with animal husbandry. Here's some of how the world has been treating itself in the last 48-plus hours. A former Justice Department official who led a 1990s crackdown on illegal border crossings was named to the new U.S. post of Border Czar today to oversee efforts to end drug cartel violence along the U.S.-Mexico border and to slow the tide of illegal immigration. Alan Burson, a former U.S. attorney who also once served as California's education secretary, was named to a job by Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. Pirates attacked another U.S. flagship off the coast of Somalia yesterday, this one a cargo vessel carrying food aid to East Africa that originated in Houston, Texas. According to Reuters reports, pirates attacked the Liberty Sun with rocket-propelled grenades and automatic weapons, damaging the vessel but failing to board it. Nobody was injured. And here's one protest yesterday that Fox Noise Channel is bound to avoid covering. 500 students at Tucson's Chola Magnet High School staged a sit-in protest yesterday against teacher layoffs caused by Arizona's Republican Governor Jan Brewer's slashing of the state's education budget. And over half the students at Van Horn Elementary School here in Tucson stayed home for the same reason. Meanwhile, Fox Noise keeps plugging these teabaggers that are making fools of themselves nationwide. Listening to Ed Schultz's radio show on the way to the studio this morning, I have to admit that he has a very valid point about the teabaggers. They have no idea what America should be about. They just know that they lost a big election last year and can't stand being in the vast minority without political power anymore. At several of the teabag gatherings documented on video and collected on one page at the Huffington Post, there were calls for armed revolution and book burnings and continued citations of the myth claiming President Obama was not born in the United States. The Washington, D.C. teabag party was shot down by the Secret Service after one of the participants threw a parcel over the White House fence. 108 years ago, the Fox Noise and Chump Channel Communications of 1901, the Hearst newspaper chain, was brazen enough to run editorials calling for someone to put a bullet into President McKinley. And that September, someone did. After the Knoxville church shootings last summer and the Pittsburgh assault on police the day before this Palm Sunday, both inspired by American fascist propaganda, can it be long before a Fox Noise Chump Channel crackpot fan tries the same thing in our day? Police at the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill clashed with students as they disrupted a speech by Tom Tancredo, the former congressman from Colorado. According to reports, Tancredo's speech opposed in-state tuition benefits for families of undocumented laborers. Reports say police used pepper spray on about 30 protesters who tried to force their way into Bingham Hall, where Tancredo was speaking. Hundreds of other students inside the hall are said to have shouted profanities and accusations of racism, while Tancredo and the students who introduced him tried to speak. Minutes into the speech, one student reportedly broke a window, forcing Tancredo to leave and campus police to shut down the event. Hundreds of people attended a funeral on Monday for an 11-year-old Massachusetts boy who hanged himself after enduring months of anti-gay harassment. Carl Walker Hoover was found last week hanging by an extension cord on the second floor of the family home. The Reverend Hugh A. Bear, presiding over the funeral, said in his eulogy, "The name-calling must stop. The bullying must stop." His mother said that the new leadership charter school did nothing to stop the bullying despite her repeated complaints to the school. The 11-year-old did not identify as being gay, but Carl said that he suffered taunts and threats from other students who made fun of him, insulted the way he dressed, and called him gay. It was at least the fourth suicide of a middle school-aged child linked to bullying this year, according to the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. Earlier this month, the parents of a Mentor, Ohio high school student filed a federal lawsuit in connection with their son's suicide. Eric Mowat, 17, went home from school on March 27, 2007, and put a bullet through his own head. In a federal lawsuit, the parents of Mowat alleged that he regularly was called various homophobic slurs and that the school did nothing to prevent it. New York Governor David Patterson will announce tomorrow plans to reintroduce legislation to legalize same-sex marriage in that state. Patterson's move, which he first signaled last week after Vermont became the most recent state to allow gay and lesbian couples to wed, reflects the governor's desire to press the issue with lawmakers in Albany as other states move ahead with efforts to grant more civil rights to homosexuals. The action in Vermont, where state legislators overrode Governor Jim Douglas's veto of a bill legalizing same-sex marriage, came less than a week after the Iowa Supreme Court granted same-sex couples the right to marry. Patterson has said in recent days that the state legislature should now move ahead with the legislation regardless of whether it can muster enough votes. His reasoning, which some gay rights advocates have challenged, is that New York should make a statement that it is committed to treating same-sex couples the same way that it treats opposite-sex couples. The bill Patterson plans to introduce is the same piece of legislation that former Governor Eliot Spitzer introduced in 2007, according to Assemblyman Daniel O'Donnell. The Assembly passed that by 24 votes, 85 to 61, a wider margin than had been expected. The Senate failed to pass that same bill. The Log Cabin Republicans are having their membership numbers siphoned off by a new gay Republican group called Go Proud. The new tax-exempt 527 will offer another home to gay and lesbian conservatives. In last year's election, approximately 5% of voters identified as gay, and of those, 27% gave their votes in the presidential election to John McCain. Democrats trying to pressure Norm Coleman to abandon his fight for his former Senate seat have added a radio ad to their arsenal. The ad, set to run on Twin Cities' mostly far-right-wing talk radio stations, was unveiled by the Democratic National Committee yesterday, one day after a three-judge panel rejected Coleman's legal arguments and declared Al Franken the winner of that race. Spanish prosecutors have decided to press forward with a criminal investigation targeting former U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and five top associates over their role in the torture of five Spanish citizens held at Guantanamo. The six defendants, Gonzalez, Federal Appeals Court judge and former Assistant Attorney General Jay Bybee, University of California law professor and former Deputy Assistant Attorney General John Yu, former Defense Department General Counsel and current Chevron lawyer William Haynes, Vice President Cheney's former Chief of Staff David Addington, and former Undersecretary of Defense Douglas Faith, are accused of having given the green light to torture and mistreatment of prisoners held in U.S. detention in the so-called War on Terror. A federal judge has delayed the trial of former Arizona Congressman Rick Renzi on charges including public corruption, extortion, insurance fraud, and racketeering until the autumn. U.S. District Judge David Burry has reset the trial date to September the 22nd for Renzi and three co-defendants, James Sandlin, Andrew Beardall, and Dwayne LeQuire. It becomes the fifth trial date. Renzi was a three-term congressman from Arizona's first district, but retired last year. And yet another right-wing convicted felon has been handed a radio show. Former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney has started a new talk radio show 8 months after finishing his sentence in a public corruption scandal on WVLY in Moundsville, West Virginia. The six-term Republican from Heath, Ohio, resigned his seat in Congress after acknowledging in a 2006 plea that he traded political favors for gifts as campaign donations arranged by lobbyist Jack Abramoff and his associates. WVLY is owned by a Wheeling, West Virginia company called Monroe Communications. The company's principal owner, Howard Monroe, is WVLY's morning talk show host. It appears the recession and a lousy program lineup have claimed another talk radio station, Mesa, Arizona's KXAM, which billed itself as independent radio, but in fact carried the usual pile of third-string pseudo-conservative hate yakkers, will go silent at the end of the day today. The station is owned by the Gerson family, which decided to return the station license to the FCC and rebuffed an offer to sell the station to employees, according to the Arizona Republic newspaper. The last couple of days' obituaries include Mark Fidrich, the colorful bird of 1976 to 1980 Detroit Tigers teams, and the 76 American League Rookie of the Year. He was 54 years of age. He was found Monday underneath his pickup truck at his farm near Northboro, Massachusetts. Apparently, the truck fell off a jack while Fidrich was working on it. As a Tigers pitcher, Fidrich would talk to the ball while on the mound. One of the batters that he faced was Greg Nettles of the New York Yankees. During one at-bat, Nettles claims he said to his bat, "Never mind what he says to the ball, hit it over the outfield fence." After Fidrich struck him out, Nettles was heard to say, "Damn Japanese bat doesn't understand a word of English." And Bruce Snyder has died of skin cancer at his Phoenix home, age 69. In a 20-year collegiate football head coaching career, he had an unbeaten 96 season at Arizona State, was twice Pac-10 coach of the year in both 1990 while at California and 1996, that ASU season, and also coached at Utah State. He was also an assistant coach for Oregon and USC, as well as the then Los Angeles Rams. And Matt Quinn and his wife Kathy have been killed in a wildfire at their Montague County, Texas home. Quinn was a former talk show host at KYW-TV in Philadelphia, where his co-host had been the late Jessica Savage. ABC News thought Quinn could cover stories from off the beaten path, much like Charles Kuralt was doing at that time for CBS. But he didn't get along with the Rune Arledge administration at ABC News, so in 1980 he left the network for its local affiliate in Dallas, WFAA-TV. If you have any material that you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one more thing today. A 5-centimeter fir tree has been found in the lung of a man who complained he had strong pain in his chest and was coughing blood. The 28-year-old patient came to a hospital in the city of Izhevsk in central Russia last week. Doctors x-rayed his chest and found a tumor in one of his lungs. Suspecting cancer, they made a decision to perform a biopsy, but when they cut the tissue, they were amazed to see green needles in the cut. The 5-centimeter branch was removed from the patient's body. "It's obvious that a 5-centimeter branch is far too large to be inhaled or swallowed," doctors say. They suggest that the patient may have inhaled a small bud, which then started to grow inside the body. I've heard of having morning wood, but this is ridiculous. Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.